Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, brought to you by Campbell's new chunky spicy soup. It's time to get fired up. Nothing to get fired up about this one. Raptors played genuinely one of the least watchable games that you will find. And Raptors lose at home at Scotiabank by a score of 123-89. And their losing streak hits 8 games, you know, that improves their lottery odds, all that kind of stuff. You understand the situation that they're in. They got a lot of injuries. They continue to lose more players. Emmanuel Quickley is going to be out for the foreseeable future with a undisclosed personal issue that he's attending to. And Darko did say before the game that, you know, they're going to give him that time and that space. And so, you know, again, you guys just really got to respect that. At the same time, what you're left with the Raptors in the current roster is just, it's a game to sort of fill out, you know, a roster. There's enough bodies, I suppose, to play, but ultimately that's it. Like, the purpose of these games is just to sort of get through them. I think that if they had younger players and they were struggling and they're going through things, you would even say, well, they're trying to develop, they're trying to learn, they're trying to grow. But you can't really say that in earnest about some of these guys. I mean, right now, it reminds me so much of the last couple days of Tampa. And by the way, there is still a month left in the season. But, like, you know, it reminds me of the last couple days of Tampa because you just have players who are playing to fill the time and just go through the process and move on. There's very little that you can take away from these games. Of course, you could look to watch for certain young guys, and there are still players on the roster who should be here next year or may be here next year or whatever, and you can try to make some decisions. But ultimately, there's so little structure in these games. There's so little competitiveness. There's, like, barely enough, like, of anything on either end of the floor to even make it a reasonable game. I mean, for the second half, well, number one, I didn't even take any notes for the second half. Like, there's not a single bullet point written down for third quarter or fourth quarter. And the reason for that is because the Kings basically just toyed with the Raptors for the entire time. And that's not something that necessarily that upsets me, because you understand the situation going into this. But, like, the Kings just got whatever shot they wanted. They dominated on the glass that you would expect them to. They got 19 offensive rebounds. Raptors are going up against Domantas Sabonis, who, again, has now 51 straight double-doubles and is one of the best rebounders in the league. You're throwing Kelly Olynyk against him, you know, and it's not even close. I mean, especially when Sabonis is also super physical, going right back at Kelly. I mean, what do you really want him to do? And then you're across the board, they're bigger. Harrison Barnes is bigger than Bruce Brown. Keegan Murray is bigger than Grady Dick. You know, Keon Ellis is the same size as Ochai. You know, De'Aaron Fox is bigger than Gary Trent. Second unit comes in, and this is the sad part. The Raptors try to bring in and empty their bench, quote unquote, and they couldn't even do that. They just brought in the same bench that they had because they have so few numbers. Meanwhile, the Kings obviously played everybody available to them. And yeah, I mean, again, you're just left with the situation where they played a game just to scratch another one off the calendar. And, you know, where they end up, even though they're at home, even though, you know, the situation is what it is, and even though they've had time to practice, I literally went to the last practice, and they worked on things like box out drills, and they worked on things like how to execute on offense, and you know, like your typical practice. Like, you know, but you see a lot of working on fundamentals, things like that, how to pressure the ball, you know, what are your rotations offensively, you know, a couple sets that they want to bring in, a couple new sets that they want to run. It's hard to assess any of that, though, because you just don't have nearly enough talent or nearly enough focus or whatever it is. You just know. And, like, these guys just aren't enough to even put up a competitive product against any half-decent team. Like, the Raptors will eventually run into teams similar to them. It won't be on Friday when they play OKC. I actually genuinely fear what OKC could do against a team like Toronto. I think the line tonight was plus 11. So they were, you know, I think honestly, like, OKC coming in here might be like a plus 15. So, you know, nothing short of that will be surprising. And, yeah, I mean, you know, you'll eventually see teams like Washington, you know, even like Detroit, I guess, was competitive to some degree, although Detroit definitely beat the Raptors with ease as well. That's just kind of where it is right now. And of course, you can always break down like some of the micro, right? So I'll just go through a couple of players. I mean, especially the young guys. I think when you see Gary's line, 6 of 17, it's obviously not ideal. The thing is, the Raptors are running any offense that they can, and they're giving Gary any chance to try to score. And I don't blame him. Honestly, when you look at the stat line, like, you would like him to be more efficient scoring, sure. But he's, like, getting, he's creating his own offense a lot of the time. you know, the Raptors, this is how down bad they are. After a timeout, well, after one of Darko's many timeouts in this game, they ran a play to get Gary the ball in the post, and not even a mismatch. Like, there's nobody really Gary's that much bigger than. He got Keon Ellis guarding on a mismatch, and Keon's like slightly taller than him. And Gary just used his size and kind of like did a, you know, turnaround type of move and drew some contact and got the foul call. But they're running Gary Trent Jr. post-ups out of timeouts. Like, that's the level that we're at right now. And, you know, for Gary, I think, look, he's going to have to continue to showcase what he does offensively. I think we have a really good idea of what he does offensively, right? Like, outside of him getting a post-up, which is genuinely quite rare, like, you don't really see anything necessarily new. We've seen Gary for quite a few seasons now, so we know what he could do offensively. I think the hope is, can he do a little bit of playmaking? And I thought he actually did a good job of moving the ball around and not forcing too many shots. Again, I've taken it in the context of so many guys on this team can't score. But, like, you know, like, you're seeing Gary, like, you know, make the, you know, passes and be a willing passer in certain moments. You're seeing him try to pressure and guard a little bit. It's not really amounting to much difference. But again, like, when you're looking at this game, like, Gary is probably the best player for the team. And that's just a tough position to be in. Like, even like as recently as last year, he was our fifth best starter. And we've gotten to the point now where Gary's like the guy that we're running everything through in a lot of these moments. It's just a tough position to be in. Speaking of tough position, I think for Grady, you know, you're seeing him have to initiate and create a lot of offense now. And, you know, that means putting the ball on the deck. That means, like, you know, taking the ball into the paint and then making the right passes out. And of course he's going to struggle with that. Not only did he not even play that role in college, he's certainly not equipped to play it at this professional level. And so you're seeing these wild passes where he's throwing all over the place. And he's got a lot of bad pass turnovers recently where he's throwing it past half or he's throwing out of bounds or whatever, right? He's trying to attack and dribble and create off that. And you can just tell that's not his skill set. His skill set is catching and shooting largely out of the corners, ideally from the top of the floor, and, you know, make a couple back cuts if he's getting, you know, denied from cutting up to the three-point line, getting back door, and just creating a couple plays like that, you know, flying out in transition. But again, just like feeding off of what other players do in terms of their advantages. Nobody else on the Raptors creates advantages in this current roster. So you're asking Gary to do things that, or you're asking Grady to do things that clearly he can't do right now. Like, it's very clear. And I feel bad for him in a way because I wouldn't say he was, like, one of eight bad in terms of he just couldn't do anything. But realistically, a lot of what he tried was against set defenses that really could, you know, disrupt his rhythm. And unfortunately, he missed some open threes as well. But I do feel like he's working harder. He's playing more. He's having to guard more. And he just looks overwhelmed in many moments. I thought he was really going through a nice stretch there when the Raptors last were somewhat healthy, when Scotty was playing and, you know, Jakob was playing, and Grady would always come in and be, like, you know, for that month, maybe even 6 weeks, like a ray of bright light, and you get to see him catching and shooting and finishing. He can't even do that right now because he's playing in a roster that doesn't have the ability or doesn't have the luxury to have him set up. They actually need him to create. And when you see him create, like, this is clearly a situation where he can't. So you're seeing some of those limitations and you're having to play through them and work through them. And that part for me is just really highlighting just how limited his current game is. I know we like to say, like, more than a shooter, more than a shooter. Yes, he does contribute in other areas. And if we put that, you know, idea in mind, of course, you're always going to look for that. But generally speaking, outside of catching and shooting and finishing off a couple cuts, he doesn't really give you that much right now. And so you're needing these opportunities to learn. And so this is, you know, more than anything else, a really difficult practice, let's just say. It's nothing against him as a player because we know that this is not what he does. And maybe hopefully in the future he can grow. I mean, he would really need to grow in many ways in order to catch up to the role that he's being asked to play right now. But nevertheless, like, one of eight is one of eight, you know what I mean? And this is much more reminiscent of the stuff that he was doing at the start of the year. So hopefully we're able to get some more structure and Grady can get into a position where, again, he's more comfortable. But nevertheless, you know, there wasn't much there. I think for Ochai, he actually started off well offensively and he finished with 5 of 10 shooting from the field for 13 points. You know, he was able to make a couple cuts, made a reverse layup at one point. That was nice. I think when he uses his athleticism going to the basket off of cuts, he's able to finish decently for a guy who's not that particularly tall. He seems to get up quickly. The issue is getting him into positions to score. And I feel like, number one, he's not very trigger happy, I would say. Like, he would, you know what I mean? Like, Grady, for example, is much more willing to attack. And Gary's much more willing to attack. Ochai is, like, almost, like, very frugal in terms of when he wants to attack, how he wants to attack. And so you see these games where he can be efficient, but because he can't generate his own offense, you know, he's going to turn down some opportunities to sort of extend himself. And honestly, when he does extend himself, like, we've seen a game, like, not that long ago where he went 6 of 20 from the field. Like, you know, you see the limitations in terms of what he can do offensively. Nevertheless, I like the fact that he was able to at least get off to a decent start, you know, played a couple of, you know, showed some pressure on defense. That was something where, again, because the Raptors had the open house, you know, they practiced a lot on, like, pressuring the ball. And the times where they were running drills to, like, you know, practice rotations and things like that, Darko did stop to practice a few times to exactly illustrate this point to a guy like Ochai or to a guy like Jordan Nwora or to a guy like Grady Dick. Those three guys had practices stopped largely from Darko to illustrate some of these defensive points where it's just like, you got to get tighter. You got to be able to pressure the ball. And, you know, I think, you know, at least you saw a little bit more of that from Ochai. But ultimately, like, you know, what can you really say? It wasn't really changing the bottom line there. In terms of the other guys that are somewhat of interest, I think Jordan Nwora continues to show you that he has an offensive skill set. You know, the first bucket of the game was a really tough one. He drove and attacked on an angle, put it behind his back in traffic, and then finished with a scoop layup. Like, he did a few times, had an and one a couple times, things like this. I think defensively, you definitely see, like, okay, you know what? It's almost as if he's a little too cool or he's a little unaware. You know what I mean? Like, almost oblivious at times defensively. Like, you know, you could definitely tell that he needs to sort of work there, because I think the shame of it is there's certain guys that have come in where you're like, you know what, no matter what they do in terms of sticking to the game plan or whatever, they just don't have at least the skill set right now to contribute anything positively, right? Like, generally speaking, you know, these guys are projects and they might grow, and ultimately, you know, they probably won't get there because you need to sort of, like, see big improvements in key areas. With Nwora, he has the tough part down. He could score. He has offensive skill set right now to be a guy in a rotation, no problem. The thing is, defensively, it's not there for him. And it's not like there's degrees to this, right? Like, I think people, like, wanted to see, for example, more defensively out of Gary. And I think with Gary, like, yeah, there are certain moments where you don't see him being disruptive or energetic, but he's not just outright falling asleep the way, like, you know, Nwora is, you know? And I think Nwora, in a weird way, it's kind of like a bench version of Gary. Like, he can definitely give you some scoring. In fact, he I would even say he has more off the bounce kind of, like, dribble and juice. But, like, that's all secondary. Like, yes, he can score a little bit, but, you know, how many points is he giving back up? And that's, for me, like, that's within his control, right? The more he's able to control and learn and find a way to focus on defense, the more he's able to find sticking moments and opportunities to stay in the league and continue to sort of show that, yeah, I mean, as long as he gets minutes, he scores. And Nwora tonight, 13 points off the bench, 5-for-7 shooting, was the only guy off the bench who can really score. Past that, I mean, you know, it's really unfortunate. Jontay Porter probably could have played a lot of minutes in this game. They really needed his size against a team like Sacramento with such physical centers. But he had to leave the game after 3 minutes, after a short shift. Apparently, he's ill, so he was unable to return to the game. I mean, the Raptors' backups beyond that are like Mahamudu Gay. And, you know, I don't want to pick on him, and this is clearly a frustrating night for him, but you saw somebody get so utterly dominated by every opponent they went up against, and that's where you're just like, a lot more work needs to go into this, because right now he is so thoroughly outclassed. Layups he was missing, rebounds he was getting boxed out of, he's getting pushed out the way, he's taking fouls that don't necessarily need to be there. Like, it's across the board, and I don't want to hammer this in, because, like, this is not something that I'm interested in to, like, you know, it's not something that I'm, I don't want to discourage anybody, but at the same time, it's clear. There were, like, clearly levels. Like, when JaVale McGee came in and it was like, wow, he looks amazing. Even though he's one of the oldest players in the league. And also, even though he's JaVale McGee, it's like, yeah, it's going to be difficult. When you get outplayed by third string, fourth string centers, like, you know, you know, obviously, that there's a lot more work to be done. Jalen McDaniels, you know, continues to be a guy who just kind of floats around out there. You know, does he have a skill set? You know, the length, I would say, more than anything else, is the biggest thing. And, you know, if he's quicker and more aggressive in certain moments defensively, you feel like he could make a bigger impact. But ultimately, he just isn't. And he isn't focused and he isn't sharp, made no impact in this game. Jamias Ramsey, you know, I think that there are certain moments where you look at him, he's a slasher, right? So I kind of got to watch him warm up. And even, you know, shooting corner threes, he was hitting the backboard, which is quite rare for corner threes. But it just kind of shows you the inconsistency of his shooting. But he is a guy who could slash. He's got a bit of quickness. You know, most of his buckets are around the basket. There's one play where the Raptors were trying to run some sort of off-ball action on the left side of the or the right side of the floor, and Jamias had it at the top. And he realized, he's like, well, the defense is kind of anticipating me to pass and set up the action that's happening on the other side. And he just blew right past his plan and you know, finished strong with a straight line drive. Like, there's a skill set there. Defensively, he's giving a lot of effort. The thing is, like, we also saw him one time, he got back cut so badly that he literally fell over trying to twist his body to recover, and he ultimately tripped over his feet. Like, so there's also really struggle moments on that front. You know, Javon Freeman Liberty did a really good job with the 905. I think people are, you know, generally pretty happy with that. He definitely did a lot of scoring, but you can also say that, like, there is a big skill jump, level jump. And when you watch them in this game, you know, was not making a consistent impact in any sort of positive facet either. So that's kind of where it is. I mean, there's certain vets around like Kelly and Bruce, but there's no real need to assess them. I mean, we know what they can do in this league. They're proven, and yes, they're overstretched. I felt like Kelly, you know, having a fight with Sabonis, it's just a physical toll that Kelly will never complain. In fact, Kelly actually almost embraces the challenge. It feels like he surprises you once or twice a game with some nice blocks. I mean, he blocked Fox, for example, going to the basket. But, like, still, I mean, you know, he's overmatched. And I think for Kelly, it's just, you know, when he has more help defensively around him, maybe he could play five for the second unit. But when he's going up against starting level fives, like, Sabonis wasn't an all-star. And Sabonis, I genuinely don't really enjoy watching his game necessarily. But, like, impact-wise, is absolutely such an impactful player. And, yeah, I mean, the physicality, the size, everything like that, the fact that Kelly has to wrestle with him, like, I guess, you know, it's good that he signed his extension beforehand, is more than anything else. But in any case, you know, he's being a pro about it. He's being a vet about it. Bruce Brown is having to start at point guard. That's probably going to continue to happen with Emmanuel out. And, I mean, he's not a point guard. Wait, that's not true. He did play a lot of point guard, and I'm not saying that he can't do some of the things that a point guard does, but ultimately, he's not a guy who creates advantages. So he's able to set up the play. But generally speaking, like, where are the actual plays being made out of? Who's creating advantages? Who's creating the paint touches? Who's making the right passes, kick out, all that kind of stuff? Bruce has really become more and more of an established player by being a cutter, being someone who feeds off of other people, being able to push occasionally and do a little bit of playmaking. But to start him at point guard, I mean, like, I don't, you know, even tanking teams that he was on before this weren't even doing that. So ultimately, yeah, you're left with the situation where the game is what it is. And I think for Sacramento, my lasting impression watching the second half was just they barely had to try. Like, they got the offensive rebound whenever they wanted to. They got an open shot whenever they wanted to. They actually shot the three really poorly tonight, 12 of 41 for only 29%. But, like, ultimately, they moved the ball beautifully. And I think, you know, I remember at the start of the season, I remember asking Darko about, you know, just what he wants to do offensively with the system. And, of course, it's hard to compare, obviously, this current roster. But I'm saying in generalities, what did you want to compare the system to? And one of the teams he did raise was Sacramento, right? And Sacramento did do a really great job last year in particular, and this year as well. You can still see the identity. But they go through the post, they create paint touches, and then they get open threes for other guys. And, of course, De'Aaron Fox gets downhill. Malik Monk gets downhill. There's that aspect. Like, I guess looking at the Kings, the way they want to play is sort of like what the Raptors hope to emulate in certain facets. But even still, I think you still need the horses, right? That's something that Jordy Fernandez was talking about. And, you know, he was able to give a pregame media availability. Obviously, he serves as the assistant coach for the Kings, but he's the head coach of the Canadian Men's National Program. But he talked about it. He's like, luckily, I got the horses in terms of just the players to go out there and compete and the talent to go out there and execute. And that's ultimately what Canada did last year with the men's side finally qualifying for the Olympics and ultimately getting bronze in the World Cup, defeating teams like Slovenia, defeating teams like the U.S., defeating teams like Spain, but and France, of course. But, like, yeah, I mean, you do also need the horses. Like, yes, you can choose to try to play in a way and you try to grow. And again, nobody's making any judgments based on this game. I mean, like, again, you can. But at the same time, like, if you want to play like the Kings, right, you need Jakob to play at a Sabonis level. Does he have the physicality and the ball handling and the skill set to play like that? The passing sometimes, yes, and you know, but like ultimately Sabonis is a better player, right? You do you have the downhill quickness, the burst, the explosiveness, the one-on-one creation that Fox has? Quickly has a lot of other attributes, right? Another Kentucky guard. Feels like they always got one quick guard, you know, who's able to really create off the balance every year. And I know that they got one in the you know, that's, I guess, ranked highly in mock drafts this year. And ultimately, the Raptors could even be positioned to take a guy like that. But still, does he have that kind of burst like Fox? And then do we have big shooters around them that you need to make this thing work? Harrison Barnes is whatever, but he's still a big shooter. And then Keegan Murray is also a big shooter who didn't even make many threes today, but, you know, clearly has that ability. That's the part where it's like, okay, maybe you can get to that point. I mean, of course, Scotty and RJ, when they're healthy and available, are no slouches, and I'm pretty happy with them. But ultimately, like, those are the kind of guidelines you want to move towards. And I think for the team right now, you can't even judge this team. Like, the Raptors are like a third grade student right now taking organic chemistry, and it looks exactly how that sounds. So before I get to the three stars, message from our sponsor, are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level. See if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Okay, your three stars. Three for this one. I'm going to give the first star to Gary, 18 points. I'm going to give the second star to Jordan Wara, 13 points. And your third star, I'm going to give it to Ochai Agbaji. But really, I think the first, second, third star should be all the fans who stuck around towards the end, because that was a nasty product that they got to see tonight. Your Gerald Henderson Award winner, I'm going to give that to... Honestly, you can give it to whoever you want. I'm going to give it to JaVale McGee. He came in the game at the end there and entertained, at least. And, you know, I still love yelling JaVale McGee Shaq style when I see him. I know that's something that it's not necessarily the best thing to be known for, but... you know, I enjoyed watching JaVale tonight. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. Please continue to rate, review, subscribe to The Raptor Show. And yeah, you've been listening to The Raptors Reaction Podcast, brought to you by Campbell's new chunky spicy soup. It's time to get fired up. Have a good night.